From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 7th day of October 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Brazil and Europe would like the Doha round of the WTO wrapped up next year, so who wouldn't? Monsanto is reporting a net loss of $233 million in its fiscal fourth quarter, and a crop input supplier in Brazil is predicting that South American nation could harvest a record-breaking soybean crop in 2010. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then as we close out this Wednesday edition, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City right here on the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $4.63 1/4, up 3 cents. The March at $4.82 3/4, 3.5 higher. And the May at $4.95 1/2, up 3.5. July contract at $5.07 1/4, 3 1/4 higher. December corn futures, $3.59 3/4, 1/2 higher. The March at $3.72 1/4, up 1 3/4. And May at $3.80 3/4, 2 cents higher. July contract, $3.87 3/4, up 1.5 on the day. September corn futures at $3.95 3/4, up 1 3/4. And December of next year, $4.05 1/4 settlement price, up 1 3/4 on the afternoon. Soy complex for the day, November beans, $9.12, up 2. January at $9.16 3/4, 2.5 higher. The March for the day at $9.18 3/4, up 4.5 cents. And the May at $9.18 3/4, 5 cents higher. And next year's November soybean futures, $9.16 1/2, up 7 1/4. October bean meal today, $2.90 70, up $5.20. December at $2.81, up $3.50. October oil, 21 cents higher on the afternoon at $33.73. October live cattle at $82.22 1/2, down 7 1/2. October feeders, $93.35, 50 cents higher. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Lean hog futures settled at $50.90. They were 80 cents higher on the afternoon. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. Crude oil futures, November contract, $70.88, 47 higher. November ethanol at $1.82, that's 0.2 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.92 1/10, 4 1/10 cents higher. December futures at $5.69 there, up 6 3/10. The RBOB gasoline for the November contract, 4 8/10 lower at $1.72 4/10. November heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.78 3/10, 3 1/10 cents lower. And propane futures at 99 cents even, just about 0.3 cents higher. Gold futures, October contract, $1,043.30, up $4.70, a settlement price there. And the Dow now at 9,698, just about 33 points higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says for this evening, we'll take a look at the forecast that has a flash flood watch in effect for portions of central into southern Illinois. From Thursday morning, that is, through Friday morning. Tonight in western Illinois, becoming cloudy, some showers. They'll arrive after midnight. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Overnight, lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy, periods of rain and a few thunderstorms. Heavy rainfall possible during the afternoon across central Illinois into northern Indiana. Highs tomorrow will range from 52 in far northern Illinois to 72 in the far south. And then the extended forecast shows us that rain will arrive tomorrow, will continue right into Friday. That rain will taper off quickly in the northwestern part of Illinois and become lighter in other northern and central locations, but will remain heavy through the morning and southern sections. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us now. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Paul, let's talk about this marketplace just a bit. We have had a pretty extensive move higher in the market over the past couple of days. Can you give us a quick bird's eye view of what's happened and what your thought about conditions of the crop might be as we head into the crop reports on Friday of this week?
Okay, it's been rather an exciting market in the fact that the market is, on commodity week on Saturday, we were ready to put an enormous corn and soybean crop to bed and talking about possibly price erosion. And then all of a sudden, Australia raised their prime interest rate 0.25%. A discount rate 0.25%, and all of a sudden the U.S. dollar weakened. Reports of some killing temperatures and freezing temperatures over a large percentage of the corn and soybean belt in the Midwest. The market saw commodity funds buy over 30,000 contracts of corn. The private weather people were very wet, talking about 2 to 4 inches of rain in some of the southern growing areas. I think today they reduced that to maybe 0.5 to 1 inch for central Illinois Thursday, Friday. A couple things that we're looking at here, of course, people are worried about corn moisture levels at 30 to 35%. With freezing temperatures possibly reducing test weight and also possibly hurting some of the double crop beans in the southern parts of the Midwest. All said and done, the market is still focusing on short covering, a wet forecast, maybe a grain industry that's needs some corn and soybean supplies in the near term. Our general forecast is still a very large corn and soybean crop, and I still think that we could have a bin-buster soybean crop when it's all said and done.
And do you think that the corn crop will be hurt sharply? I saw at least one estimate that said their figure was about 100 million. I think it was 99 million bushel, actually, that a good frost might and freeze might hurt over the weekend. I know that Emerson Nafziger, agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, in tomorrow's bulletin will put forward his thoughts on it. So if those producers who want to get an idea what Emerson has to say, they can read that at ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. But I guess the question really is how much do you think the corn crop could be hurt?
Well, we know a couple of, areas. We think that definitely some of the farmers are bringing in ears of corn here that haven't black layered. But we think that the amount of damage is going to be extremely small, and it's going to be in the form of test weight, and it's going to be sad to take a moisture discount plus a test weight discount. The one state that's bad, of course, is North Dakota, and there will be parts of the southern Midwest here that did have a lot of late-planted corn. My general impression is that it's a small thing at the present time, Todd. The sad thing is it does prevent a lot of moisture drop quick that we normally associate with these new racehorse hybrids. My general impression is that it's in the neighborhood of 50 million to 100 million bushels, and it's a very small total, of the picture. Will it keep the corn crop going over 165 to 166 bushels to the acre? It's possible. The other big unknown is will the USDA come in with a smaller acreage or an unchanged acreage? Definitely an unchanged acreage with a yield of, I think, above 164 would be looked upon as slightly bearish to the market.
You mentioned black layer, so I do want to take a moment and read a paragraph that should be in the article that is posted tomorrow from Emerson, and it has to deal with black layer because I know many people will be thinking about this. He writes, there may be some fields, though where there have been enough growing degree days to reach maturity, but that the black layer is still not visible. And then he goes on to say and hypothesize just a bit that it may be that the extended filling period and the slow pace of filling in recent weeks have meant an interruption of the normal endograin fill, and that the black layer cells simply aren't collapsing or forming that black pigment that we usually see. In such cases, use the milk line method and don't worry about the black layer. When milk line is no longer visible and there's no liquid at the base of the kernels, then the kernel is as heavy as it's going to get, and black layer or not. So I guess that's something that producers can take a look at in their own fields as to whether that milk line is there and whether they've reached full capacity as to how heavy that crop would be. And, of course, that would have to be related to the test weight. So,
well, and one other thing that we have to talk about here is this is October 7th. We're
right.
Talking about October 12th. Even though it's going to be rainy, there's not a lot of growing degree days. The crop is maturing, and we are seeing a lot of maturity in the next 5 to 7 days in the bean fields just because of the maturity. So it's becoming a issue, but I think the marketplace is basically downgrading it almost on a daily basis, and we'll wait and see. And these early yields seem to be coming in pretty good as well.
Well, do you think that the marketplace is ready to continue to move higher at this point in the corn market? Is this just a tick up on the potential freeze and frost scare and the damage that it may or may not do this weekend? What do you think might be behind?
Well, I think it is treading water until we get the USDA report, and it's an important benchmark, and then at the same time it's an important benchmark to see what the dollar does. I think everybody is gearing up to the idea that the U.S. economy is extremely slow, and the interest rates are going to stay low for quite a while. Politically, a 10 to 12% unemployment rate is just not acceptable to the voters in America, and won't reward a politician that allows that to continue to happen. So they're going to, in my opinion, inflate it with cheaper dollars and get the economy moving again in the next 2 to 3 years.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day, and always nice talking to you. And we'll see you at the Illinois football game this weekend.
You bet. It'll be a cold one, but we'll have fun. Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's at Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Of course, you are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's from Illinois Public Media. You can always hear what Paul Cooley had to say again on our website at willag.org or by dialing this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. Really, it's just voicemail or an answering machine. A little bit of analysis and the numbers from the morning and the afternoon updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily at 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a draft document from Brazil and the European Union suggests they will increase pressure on the United States to conclude the Doha round of world trade talks in 2010. The draft communique, prepared for an EU-Brazil summit today, says that the 2010 deadline will be at risk without swift progress, and it makes a thinly veiled call on Washington to state its position. It says, quote, Brazil and the EU believe that closure of the Doha round in 2010 should take place on the basis of progress already made and therefore call on WTO members to set out any specific demands they may have. The European Union, Brazil, and other trading partners have become frustrated by Washington's failure to outline its position, which they say is needed if a breakthrough is to be made before the end of the year to facilitate meeting the 2010 deadline. U.S. Food and Drug Administration records show that U.S. regulators refused 13 shipments of Canadian canola meal in August and September from Bunge Limited plants on suspicion of salmonella contamination. 12 shipments came from a Bunge plant in Saskatchewan. The other originated in Manitoba. Bunge has been on import alert status since May, an FDA action that places shipments from certain companies under greater border security. Leading chemical and bioseed seed developer Monsanto Company reported a higher fourth quarter loss today. Monsanto reported a net loss of $233 million for the fourth quarter, compared with a loss of $172 million in the same period last year. The company reported a loss per share of 43 cents compared to a loss of 31 cents a share a year ago. During the quarter, the company also increased a restructuring reserve to between $550 and $600 million as part of a cost-cutting effort. And Brazil's crop supply agency, CONAB, says that Brazil's 2009-10 soybean crop is projected at a record 62.26 to 63.27 million tons, compared with the 57.09 million tons harvested last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can hear online anytime you'd like. At willag.org, there you'll find other ag programming to listen to as well. It's all at willag.org. Now up next, you know, the marketplace is telling farmers to sell soybeans right now. I'll have more on why that might be a good decision with the University of Illinois ag economist, Daryl Good. The commodity markets tell farmers and end users what the price of soybeans is today and what it might be at some point in the future. The farmers can take that knowledge and use it to determine when to sell their crop. Right now, the soybean market says the price of beans in the future will be just about what it is today. And that, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, means soybeans should be sold as they're harvested this fall.
You know, I think the market is saying there's no return to storage built into the price structure. That is, you couldn't put beans in a bin and hedge in a return to storage. So it really says that the lowest cost way to own soybeans is basically on paper at this point, that it's pretty expensive to put beans in a bin, pay storage costs, pay interest on those value of $9 soybeans. The market is saying cash them in, perhaps on a basis contract, get most of your money up front, and then price those soybeans off the deferred futures later on. Or more straightforward is just to sell beans and buy futures. Most farmers are not inclined to do that because of the margin risk, but basis contracts offer an equivalent way to do that.
So Daryl Good says farmers should sell their soybeans. If they are so inclined to believe the price of soybeans will go higher in the future, then he suggests they buy them back on paper in some form. This, as a not-so-gentle reminder, takes them from being a hedger to a speculator and comes with all the associated risk. From University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us this afternoon. Hi, Matt. How are you today? Oop, Matt maybe not be with us. Well, let me see if we can't come up with Matt here in just a second. I'm not sure why he might not be with us, but we'll check and see whether he left us and find out whether we can call him up again. Give me just a moment and we'll come up with Matt Blaisdell or somebody else. I think we've got Matt back now. Hi, Matt. I'm sorry. You're still with me, aren't you?
I am, Todd. I can hear you, but I don't think you can hear me.
Well, that's because I had you turned down. You know, it's kind of interesting. We're trying something new here. I'm, of course, not in the studio today and haven't been for the past couple of days. I've been in my office in Mumford Hall, and I'm still getting used to all the kinds of equipment that I'm using. Actually, it's all software. It's all right in front of me, and I just had you muted. Using Skype, actually, to talk with you and everybody else. So it's kind of interesting, but I have to play with Skype just a little bit to get it to sound right. And as it happened, I had you on mute, and that's why you weren't there. So let's talk about the marketplace. Oh, one other thing about being over here was that I got an email note today. At one point this afternoon, it just smelled really like a skunk. And there was a skunk outside of the building, and we got an email from the folks in the building that said there was a work order in place to remove the skunk. Which I thought was hilarious, but anyway, that happened.
We don't want to be on the receiving end of that work order.
Yeah, and then later on, actually they filled the work order and the skunk is now gone, but not until after he'd fired off once. So, okay, so I've wasted a lot of time. You've got a minute to tell me what's happening in your marketplace.
You know, really, harvest has been painfully slow here. It seems like we get a 2 to 3 day window max, and then we get a rain that takes us out of the fields for at least a couple days here. Because of that, bean premiums here for the last 2 weeks have been volatile at best. We went into the last weekend, with bases being on the lows that they have been for some time, and then with the rain, they shot up another 20 to 30 cents there since last weekend. So we continue to see the processors hungry for beans, worried that beans aren't going to move their way here, and we're just now finally starting to get the corn processors worried about corn with delays in the corn harvest. We probably have less than 5% of our corn harvest taken out of fields now.
All right. I took up all of your time. Thanks much. I appreciate it, Matt.
No problem.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The Chicago Tribune says it's trying to force the University of Illinois to reveal the names of well-connected applicants to get at the motives of those who tried to influence admissions. The newspaper yesterday amended a June lawsuit to include its bid to reveal those names. The university kept the now-defunct Category I list to track well-connected applicants to the Urbana campus. University spokesman Tom Hardy says the school has turned over records with the names removed to comply with privacy laws. The list and the fact that some of its members were admitted over better qualified applicants are at the heart of a scandal that's led to the resignation of University President Joseph White. Governor Pat Quinn's campaign to get more funding for the state's grant program for low-income students has arrived in Urbana. Quinn attended a U of I rally at the noon hour to persuade lawmakers to address the state's Monetary Award Program, or MAP, grants. They help about 138,000 students attend community colleges or universities. The governor says there are loopholes in the Illinois tax code that could be looked at for funding MAP grants for next spring. They include a tax break the state provides to oil companies for offshore drilling. He's also considering a cigarette tax and a tax amnesty program. Education Secretary Arne Duncan says it's ridiculous to suggest the turnaround strategy he implemented while CEO of Chicago Schools contributed to the current violence among students. Duncan says it's easy to point fingers, but the nation needs to get to the root of the problem. Some Chicagoans blame a school reform plan that closed dozens of Chicago schools and reassigned thousands of students to campuses outside their neighborhoods, often across gang boundaries. One clinic in Champaign County has canceled 3 flu shot clinic dates because they don't have enough vaccine. Christie Clinic says it'll resume the clinics in November. A release from Christie says demand for seasonal flu vaccine has been much greater than in the past. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says it's also exhausted its seasonal flu vaccine for general distribution. Administrator Julie Pride says people concerned about H1N1 help boost demand. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Hi, Drew. How are you today?
I'm good. I hope everything's going well on your side of the fence.
Yeah, you know, it is going pretty well. As you know, earlier in the day, I don't usually talk to you live. I usually record, but I was out in the pumpkin patch this morning. And just for those who are interested, and I know, Drew, you asked me when I called at about 11 o'clock this morning to talk to you about this. You asked whether there was a shortage of pumpkin in the United States. And the answer to that question is about 90% of the processing pumpkins, those that would go into pumpkin pies, come from Illinois. Actually, about 92%. We've got no shortage of those or of jack-o'-lantern pumpkins, and those are in plentiful supply as well. And Illinois actually provides a good deal of that to the rest of the nation as well. So if you've heard that rumor, it's wrong, and you should find plenty of pumpkins around there, although there might be a little frost on them, I suppose, this weekend. Nice segue, huh? How about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. There will definitely be some frost on the old pumpkin.
Tell me about it.
Here. And, in fact, we should see a killing freeze occur across most of the Midwest by the time we get to this time next week. The only areas that may get by with a lighter freeze would be in the southernmost parts of the region, the Ohio River Valley primarily. Those areas down there will probably still see some 30 to 33 degree temperatures when we bottom out for them, which will probably be Wednesday of next week. And we will probably do a little bit of injury to some of those crops down there, but not like the rest of the Midwest, where we will see temperatures probably 20s and lower 30s in a much more general sense. The coldest weather is still slated to come up here for late in this weekend through early next week, and by Wednesday, everybody will have had their freeze. We're going to see teens in the northern plains, probably 20s, though, dominating the northwestern corn belt for the most part, and that should end that growing season. Unfortunately, we're going to do some damage to some of these crops. I know that's the big debate as to just how serious that will be, and we're really just going to have to wait and see. There's definitely going to be an extended number of hours where we're below freezing and even below 28 degrees for a big part of the northwestern corn belt.
I know producers are worried about cold. I think they're probably just as concerned or maybe more concerned about the wet weather. There are flash flood warnings out for portions of the Midwest over the next couple of days.
Absolutely. And a band of pretty strong thunderstorms will be developing tomorrow across the region, coming out of Kansas and passing through Missouri, actually go back into Oklahoma for that matter, but anyway, coming right across the heart of Illinois at some point during the afternoon tomorrow, and will continue to extend to the northeast from there into Ohio. 1 to 2 inch rains will be quite common, local amounts over 3 inches. There's some models out there suggesting even greater rains than that. I don't buy into that, but these will be strong thunderstorms and could get some hail out of a few of them as well, so that may not be such a great thing. The northern delta will also be involved with some of this heavier rainfall, but it looks like the delta will be spared, the central and southern parts of the delta will be spared the heaviest rain this time around. Obviously, any rain down there is a big problem, and they are still going to have to deal with 1.5 to 1.5 inches of rainfall there. Have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.